And now for our lesson. Remember, this is bread. Bread.
Bread.
And this is wine. To drink.
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 Good. Good.
We are friends, you and I. Friends. Good.
Good.
And now for a smoke. No. This is good. Smoke. You try.
Oh.
Good. Good.
Good evening. Welcome to my life as a foodie. Listen to them, children of the night. What music they make. The beer is the life. Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to our special Halloween episode. It's spooky as hell in here, man. I hope you brought an extra pair of underpants. We've got our horror movie quote game all lined up, and that's ready to go. So we're going to be attacking that shortly, and we can get on with it. And we're making a special Halloween dish. It's a cold beet soup. We're calling it the blood of Dracula. It's super fresh, super easy to make, and really freaking delicious. So if you like beets, and you like blood, and food that looks like blood, then you're going to love this. And I wanted to announce real quick, and this has been announced already on the website. To my utter shock and amazement, and very happy about it, My Life as a Foodie has been nominated as a finalist in the 4th Annual Podcast Awards for 2008. So some of you must have nominated the show on your own, because I didn't really say anything about it. So whoever you are, none of you have stepped forward, really. I thank you very much. It's an honor to be a finalist in these awards. And, you know, I don't do this show for awards or anything like that. You know, I do it because I really like doing it. I enjoy doing it. I love podcasting. I love the friendships I've made from it. And I really like all the feedback that I get from all of you. And I enjoy reading your experiences with food and beer. And being able to share that and share in your passion for food and craft beer when you feel just as strongly about it as I do, then, you know, that's really the reward for me. So the best part about all this is that our good friends over at Should I Drink That, they were also nominated in the food and drink category. So we're both finalists this year, going up against each other. But you remember last year, they were finalists, and we were pushing for them to win, but then they eventually knocked out by a coffee show, I think. The Coffee Bean, or something like that. So congratulations also to Should I Drink That, Father Spoon and Sick Puppy. I think it's really big for Beer Safari that two podcasts from the Beer Safari camp are in the running for an award like this. Win or lose, it's big for Beer Safari, because you think about it. The first 2 years they had these awards, Jeffrey T., the Good Beer Show, he won back-to-back in food and drink. So that's one and two. And the third year, Should I Drink That gets in. And the second year, there's two more from Beer Safari. So, you know, we're on a roll. BeerSafari.com, it's Jungle of Beer. So now what happens? Now everybody's going to get out there. They're going to vote for My Life as a Foodie at PodcastAwards.com. PodcastAwards.com. We're in the food and drink category. It's on the right-hand side. Just go to the website, PodcastAwards.com. Scroll down to the food and drink category. I believe it's on the right-hand side. Vote for My Life as a Foodie. Go down to the bottom, put your name and your email address. Click Submit. You can do this once a day, every 24 hours. So if you really love the show, and you can remember to hit it every day, you can submit a vote every day. Voting ends November 6th. So the clock is ticking. But again, I appreciate your support of this podcast in every way. Words can't describe how happy I am just to be in this situation. So win or lose, it's no big deal to me, but I wanted to say thanks again to all of you who did this work to get me to this point.
Hello, Reagan. I'm a friend of your mother's. I'd like to help you.
You might loosen this draft.
I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Reagan.
I'm not Reagan.
I see. Well, then, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now, kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karras.
But my number one favorite IPA of all time, the mother of double IPAs, the godfather, or the meat of Imperial West Coast India Pale Ale, is now available in bottles. And it is none other than Russian River Brewing's Pliny the Elder. And I'm having it on the show today. It's sold in 16-ounce bottles, only in cold storage, and I'm going to tell you more about that in a bit. The bottle's inscription is so in-your-face that this beer is to be consumed as quickly as you possibly can. Get it home and drink it. Don't age me. Don't get me warm. I'm not going to wait any longer. Right now, I'm going to crack it open. I'm going to pour it in my glass and have some. See if it was... Oh, my life. The smell is so dense on this beer, I can't even describe it. If you took a basket of fresh hops, stuffed them in my face, twisted the basket into my skull, I couldn't get more hops into my nose than what I'm smelling. Piney the Elder. That's better. Oh, hell yeah. The taste is deep and rich and malty. Heavy. Oof, phenomenal. The alcohol. Maron, what is this? What are we looking at here? Oof. 8%. Jesus. That has all kinds of pineapple and rich citrus. Oh, man, the body on this thing won't quit. It really is one beer. I can't describe it all that well. It's just kind of deep and dense. I'm at a loss for words, which is a real hazard. It literally is like drinking hop juice, but with a buttload of malt to back it all up. And this is IPA heaven for me. I'm telling you. Seriously, I'm so happy right now. The only other time you can get this before now was if you went to the brewery in Santa Rosa, and that's a hell of a long drive for a beer. Worth it, but a hell of a long drive nonetheless. Well, I'm going to tell you what's up with this now. This beer was a beer that Vinny said he would never bottle it because it's just one of those beers that if it gets damaged, you know, it's going to hurt the reputation of the beer. And it's true. You mean, you drink a funked bottle of anything and it's going to change your opinion, not only of the beer, but maybe of the brewery and worse, the brewer. So why run the risk? Because, you know, for Vinny, it was always about the art of brewing and just that he enjoyed brewing it. People loved his beer and wanted to come around and get it. But he said if he can bottle it, and eventually he opened a new facility and he started bottling it, he was going to be very strict about how it's sold. So he made sure whoever was going to buy the beer, that they could ensure cold storage for 100% of the beer's life. Cold storage, meaning, you know, not out on shelves in the store, under UV lights, getting warm, left on a dock for a few hours, in the fucking sun, being mistreated like a street whore instead of the delicate flower, the delicate hop flower that it is. And hats off to Vinny, really, for standing up and saying that. I mean, why run the risk of your good name by leaving your beer in the hands of some jackoffs who don't know how to properly handle beer with a massive hop load like this? I mean, you can screw this up, and all of a sudden you're going to hear shit like, Russian River's all hype. I had Pliny, it was horrible. Well, have it at the brewery, and then have what you're having, you know? Because that's how it should taste. He wants it to taste like it tastes at the brewery. So if it can't be kept cold, and it can't taste as close to possible as it does from the tap, forget it. So BevMo is a chain out here. They're not carrying it. And I asked, I'm friends with the buyer at the store here in Brea. I asked him why. He told me that the higher-ups at BevMo could not guarantee Vinny that they could keep it in cold storage. So Vinny says, all right, no cold storage, no Pliny. So I got to go a little out of my way to get this. I went to High Times in Costa Mesa, but I got it and I'm happy. I mean, High Times keeps everything cold, almost everything. But they've got most of the good beer in this giant beer cooler. You walk in, it's 45-degree weather right away. I mean, in the summer, it's a treat. In the winter, it's a bitch. But it's worth it because, you know, this beer stays really super cold. Hats off to Russian River Brewing, man. I'm finally having Pliny right here in the comfort of my home, studio, whatever you want to call it. Fantastic. So I have a really delicious recipe that I'm going to share with you guys. Not particularly fall-like, but certainly takes advantage of a winter root vegetable. It's beet soup. It's served cold, like vichyssoise or gazpacho. It's cold beet soup. And that'd be fine. Any time of the year, if you wanted to call it cold beet soup, fine. But because it's Halloween, and the color and consistency of the soup is a lot like blood, we're calling this one Blood of Dracula Soup. And let me tell you something. If you're a fan of your farmer's market and fan of fresh things, you're going to love making this soup. It's easy. It couldn't get easier to prepare it. It's really delicious. And when prepared using ingredients from the farm that you buy your produce from, the day you buy your produce from it, it's just fresh and delicious. Here's what you need. 6 beets, any size, 1 white onion, 2 cups of chicken stock. Now, a note on chicken stock. Don't buy canned chicken stock. Make it yourself. If you can't make chicken stock, you can use water and add some salt. Or 2 cups of water and maybe a couple bouillon cubes. That's preferable to canned stock, because canned stock sucks ass. It's loaded with sodium, the bad kind of sodium. And it just doesn't taste very good. So make your own stock. It's easy. Just boil a chicken. Don't boil it. Simmer a chicken. And take the water, and then you got some stock. Better than what you'd find in a can. Or just use water. Or water with bouillon cubes. If you use water, add salt. But just don't buy canned stock. Anyway, 2 bay leaves, 2 cloves of garlic, and of course salt if you're going to use water instead of stock. And then a tablespoon of sugar. Peel the beets completely, quarter them, and then put them in a pot. Chop the onion roughly into 2-inch pieces. Throw that in the pot. Throw 2 cloves of garlic in the pot, 2 bay leaves, and then top it with 2 cups of water or chicken stock. Cover it. Turn the heat on medium. Get it up to a simmer. Uncover it, let it simmer for about 30 minutes or until the beets are really super soft. Then turn the heat off, let it cool for about 30 minutes, take the bay leaves out, scoop all the goods from the pot into the blender, everything, the whole thing, the liquid, the beets, the onions, everything. Fill the blender halfway, and don't fill it to the top. I mean, you fill this thing beyond halfway, you're going to ask for real trouble. And nothing burns more than scalding hot liquid shooting from a blender right into your face. That sucks. Trust me. Anyway, blend it till it's completely smooth. Empty it into a non-reactive bowl and do it again till you have it all blended. And at this point, you can pretty much figure how it's going to taste. You can season it if you need seasoning. Add a tablespoon of sugar to give it some sweetness. And of course, if you used water instead of stock or bouillon, you can add a little bit of salt. Taste it. Make sure it's seasoned just right. If you want more season, add a little more. Never add too much. Cover it. Allow it to cool to room temperature. Stick it in the fridge. When you're ready to serve the soup, ladle it into bowls. Top it with some whipped creme fraiche or heavy cream, just lightly salted. If you want to get fancy with the cream, you can add a tablespoon of minced shallot. and then just drop a dollop of that right in the middle of the soup, and you are good to go, my man. I put pictures on the website if you want to see how I made it, so check them out. I have a special blog now. I just put pictures that support the podcast. If I have multiple pictures, I'll put them all on there. You'll find a link to the pictures, zeroface.wordpress.com, and it'll say pictures from this podcast. Just click on that. I made spooky croutons, too, dude. This is great. We had it a couple weekends ago. I took these little Halloween cookie cutters that my wife bought, some shop, and I cut into a loaf of French bread, and I made these little shapes. Your kids would love these. Just butter a skillet, brown these things on each side for about a minute or two, get them crispy, flip them over, brown them a little more on the other side, and then just toss them aside, leave them out. Makes nice little crunchy croutons that you can use to eat the soup with or dip them in there. It's good, healthy Halloween soup. Easy as sin to make. And you're totally going to understand the importance of fresh ingredients. It tastes like the earth. So, oh, and as an added bonus, beets make you poop. Seriously, I mean, if you want to poop, have you some beets. Beet soup, good for poop. All right, so enjoy the recipe. Blood of Dracula. Easy, tasty, and festive for Halloween. Okay, I'm not going to tease you any longer. Let's get on with it. The horror movie quote game. I know this is what you guys showed up for. You didn't show up to hear me raving about Piney the Elder. Did I tell you how much I like Piney the Elder? I almost wish it. I wasn't down so far on this glass. Okay, here's how it's going to work. Here's what it is. I explained on the last show that this was a leftover game from Dude Night. Now, 21... quotes from movies. All scary movies, horror movies, however you want to call it. I'm going to play a clip from a movie. You have to write down which movie you think it's from. It has to be the name of the movie. All right? I'll give you an example. If I played a clip from, say, Back to the Future, but it was Back to the Future 2, you couldn't say Back to the Future. You'd have to say Back to the Future 2. All right? You follow me? It's got to be the name of the movie. Make a list. If you're in front of your computer right now, open a text file. 1, carriage return. 2, carriage return. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Make a whole long list, 1 through 21. Every time I play a clip, you write down what you think the answer is, what movie you think it came from. When I'm done and I play 21, I'm going to play a little song. You guys are going to go to the website, zeroface.wordpress.com. Click on a link that says, email your answers here. Do not post them in the comments section of the site, as I said before. I thought about it. It's probably not a good idea, because I don't know how many people are going to do this. I don't want to burn the site down, get in trouble. You know, anything can happen. I'm not saying there's going to be 1,000 people playing, but I'd just rather keep it email only. Plus, no one can steal each other's answers. So send an email to zeroface project@yahoo.com. One word, zeroface project@yahoo.com. Or click on the link at zeroface.wordpress.com. In this episode, in the show notes, it'll say email your answers here. Click that link and then send me the answers. The first person to answer all 21 correct will be declared the winner. I'll post it in the comments section of the site. Make sure you check that before you answer. And the minute somebody gets them all right, I'll post it. The contest will officially be over. And the winner will be sent, I'll email you and get your address, will be sent a bottle of Autumn Maple from the brewery. It's their fall beer, and it's made with yams and molasses and love. And it is great. I was at the brewery this past weekend. They're doing great over there, and the beer's ready, and it looks fantastic. I got a bottle myself. Haven't had it yet, but I did taste it at the brewery before, and you will not be disappointed. It's well worth your time. So let's go. I'm going to play 21 quotes. You're going to answer them. Let's get this done. Here's quote number one.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner.
All right, you got that? That's the first one. Here's number two.
It is bad to be alone.
Alone. Bad. Friend. Good. Friend.
Okay. And here's number three.
Red rum, red rum, red rum, boom, red rum.
That kid gives me the creeps, man. To this day, and I watch that kid gives me the creeps. All right, here's number four.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Isn't that nice? All righty. Here is number five.
She might have fooled me, but she didn't fool my mother.
That one might be hard for some of you, but you got to think about the movie. Then you might hear a quote later from a movie that you may not get. That'll give you another hint, and then that might help you with this. So you might want to leave it blank or say wait for later, and there might be another clip. But that was number five. Here's number six. And this one is pretty off the wall, so you're going to have to be a fan of the movie to know this.
I remember over in Russellville, old Charlie Bowles, about 15 years ago. One night he finished dinner, and he excused himself from the table. And he went out to the garage. He got himself a hacksaw. And then he went back into the house, and he kissed his wife and his two children goodbye. And then he proceeded...
Where are we?
Yeah, that one's kind of vague. But if you're a big fan, you'll get it. Here is number seven.
Crossover children, all are welcome. All welcome. Go into the light.
All righty. Here is number eight.
Oh, I remember now. Dr. Satan. God damn it, everybody got to know about Dr. Satan. And you know what I'm going to do, boy? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to let you meet the old bastard.
All right. That's kind of vague, too. So that might trip you up. Here is number nine.
This is Burkittsville. It is a small, quiet Maryland town. There are an unusually high number of children laid to rest here. Yet no one in the town seems to recall anything unusual about this time. To us, anyway. Yet legend tells a different story.
Okay. And here is number 10.
She's alive! Alive!
And listen, if you think you know what that was, you make sure you're getting the right movie. Because I think you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I mean, go back and watch it and make sure that you know. Or go to IMDb. I don't know. Half of you are going to cheat. I know it. Okay. Here's number 11.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Alrighty. Here is number 12.
Beware the moon, David.
That movie freaked me out when I was a kid, man. I think I was in high school when that came out. Ugh. Ouch. Okay, here's number 13.
Oh, no. It wasn't the airplanes. It was beauty killed the beast.
Alright. And here's 14.
Seems to me you're just plain scared.
Yes. Yeah, I am. I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. And
another one that might be kind of vague for some of you. But that is what it is. Here's number 15.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
All right, that should be fairly easy. Here is number 16.
They're here.
And by the way, I will not accept the new DirecTV commercial. That is not a horror movie, although it is a pretty bad commercial. But I need the name of the movie that came from. Okay, number 17.
Hurry up!
I'm coming! My boots aren't laced! Oh my God, what is that? What is that?
I gotta be a big fan of horror movies to get all these. Here's number 18.
Here's Johnny!
Alright, that should be fairly easy. Here's number 19.
Dimmy. Why you do this to me? Please, Timmy. I'm afraid.
Oh, man. Even that's kind of vague. This is going to be easy. I think it's going to be kind of tough for some of y'all. But there might be some really serious super horror movie fans out there that might nail these things. And quick. All right, here's number 20.
It's all true. The boogeyman is real.
and you found him.
Okay, and here is the last one. And if you get this, you are a true movie of true horror movies.
Dude, wait, what the fuck is that? Look, do you see that? Jesus Christ! Oh, fuck! Dude, wait for me! I'm fucking out of here! Come on, man, go!
That was a 12 and a half second clip, and it had the F word in it 7 times. Wow. The movie itself had a lot of F words in it. Well, that was nasty. Okay, there's 21 quotes from or sound bites from horror movies. Hope you got them all. Write them all down. Email me at zerofaceproject@yahoo.com. The first one to send me all 21 correct will be declared the winner. If at any point nobody gets all 21, the first one to give me the most answers correct after 1 week, and that would be November 6th, will be the deadline. November 6th will be the closing date of the contest. If nobody has given me all 21 answers correct, the person who has given me the most answers and who sent it to me first will be declared the winner, and I will get your address from you and send you off this bottle of autumn maple from the brewery, thebrewery.com. Okay, I'm going to play a little tune. You guys go down to the website, zeroface.wordpress.com, click on the link there or send me an email, and when we come back, we'll finish the show. Get busy. Okay, well, best of luck to all of you. I wanted to mention really quickly this website, bacontoday.com. Daily updates from the world of bacon. If you're a nut about bacon, I mean, let's face it, who's not? You can get your daily dose of bacon news, and no, I'm not shitting you here, bacontoday.com. I mean, I love bacon, but this downright retarded. I mean, it's funny as hell. The idea of a bacon news website. But seriously, if anybody loves bacon this much, you might want to buy a coffin, like now. I mean, hurry up. I mean, it's delicious, but it's really not that good for you. I mean, I don't love it that much. But you might. So, bacontoday.com. Check it out. Some real freaks out there. So, listener David sent me a comment on the blog. He said, you talked about the Beach Greens thing, and it sounds like a CSA. It's a community-supported agriculture. It's localharvest.org/CSA. He said, my wife and I joined one up there in Seattle, Washington, and we love it. We get great produce dropped off near our home, and it helps a local farm. I did a little research on this. It turns out a lot of farms offer produce subscriptions, where buyers receive a weekly or a monthly basket of produce, flowers, fruits, eggs, milk, meat. I mean, whatever the farm grows, they'll send you a basket of stuff. It's a CSA, and it stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's a way for the food buying public to create a relationship with a farm and receive a weekly basket of produce. And by making a financial commitment to a farm, you become a member or a shareholder or a subscriber of that CSA. Most CSA farmers prefer that members pay for the season up front, but some of them will accept like weekly or monthly payments. And then some CSAs require that members work at the farm for a few hours a week or a month. Anytime during the growing season, they ask you to come down there, which is also really cool because you get your hands on your food. And it's a really good learning experience for people that don't know a lot about farming. A CSA season typically runs from late spring through early fall. And the number of CSAs in the United States was estimated at about 50 in 1990. But now it's grown to over 2,000, which is pretty cool. So I'm really hoping that catches on. I love stuff like this. And David, thanks for sending that, man, because that's nice. That's just the stuff I'm looking for all the time. And an update to that Beach Greens thing. It turns out, this girl that my wife works with, she ordered from them. And here's how it works. You basically tell them what you like, and you tell them what you don't like. And once a week, you'll get a crate full of stuff. And it could be whatever they have is what you're getting. It's a complete surprise what's in it. It's not like you say, okay, listen, this week I'd like some potatoes, tomatoes, some green beans, basil, and a head of lettuce. No, that's not how it works. You're going to get what they're growing and what they've got available. They happen to only have squash, green beans, potatoes, and corn. That's what you're going to get. But if you tell them, hey, listen, I'm not a really big fan of corn, so if you ever have it, don't bother sending it to me, then you're going to get some squash, some green beans, some potatoes, and none of the corn. So it comes in a crate, and the first shipment that you got looked a little bit ratty. I mean, the vegetables look like what you'd pretty much find at the farmer's market 3 minutes before they're going to tear it down and close for the day. Well, let's face it, and I said this, if you're going to order your vegetables to come to you, you're going to have to take what they're going to give you. But her second shipment came, everything was in great shape. So I think it depends on what time of day you're getting your stuff and what you're getting. I mean, is it a crapshoot? Yeah. You're not picking it out. You don't get a chance to pick it yourself. But then again, the convenience of not having to go there, it's going to have some drawbacks, of course. It's not bad food, just may not look great. But if you're particular about how your stuff looks, get your ass down there and pick it yourself. It's the farmer's market. It's open all the time. Okay, so it wouldn't be Halloween and a Halloween episode if I didn't tell you a ghost story. And I'm not just going to tell you a ghost story because I think it's funny. I'm going to tell you a ghost story because I can. And there's a little bit of history behind this. And I'm not making this up. This isn't something I've crafted. It's true, and it may not have been paranormal activity, but enough people heard this, saw this, felt it, knew about it, and there's no other explanation for it. Again, it may not be, but it's quite possible. I lived in this house in Fullerton and was doing the show there when I first started this. We did Dude Night. We did the show in the house in Fullerton a couple times. And I wanted to tell this story at the house in Fullerton when we did the Dude Night episode with Hog Dog. But I couldn't because I could never speak about it in the house. It just gave me the heebie-jeebies to talk about it. So whenever I was outside of the house, I'd mention it or talk about it with somebody. And I felt better about it. But once I was in the house, I didn't want to say anything because, I was born to believe in this stuff. And even though my beliefs have kind of changed as I've gotten older, some stuff just kind of still sticks with me and gives me the creeps. Let me start. I'm going to go from the beginning, though, okay? And I'm not going to bore you with this story. I'm going to try to make it fast. But I need to give you a little history so you can kind of understand the process and how this came about. Second or third week in January, 1996. My wife and I are at some friend's house. We're watching the NFC and AFC playoffs, the championship games. And it was the year that the Cowboys won in the NFC and Pittsburgh won in the AFC. And I believe that was the year that Barry Switzer coached the Cowboys to their third title under Jerry Jones. It was Barry Switzer's team. We got home that night. There was a message on the machine from Katrina's cousin that they had disturbing news. And so she calls him, and it turns out that her aunt, Jean, had passed away. On Friday, that previous Friday, she had come home, opened a garage door, was driving her car into the garage, and opened the door, cigarette in hand, has a heart attack, falls over, and just dies right there in the garage. Face pressed down on the floor, passes out. She calls her mom that night, doesn't hear from her. She doesn't know anything about this. Gets a little worried about her mom. Calls Saturday morning. Phone doesn't pick up. No machine, nothing. So she sends her son down there to check it out. Son goes down there with a friend of his. Sees the garage door open. Sees the car in there. The garage door light is on. And the car door is open. And he looks over and there he sees his grandmother face down. You know, she's gone. She's expired. So this starts a chain of events. You know, people fly in from Texas. Her kids fly in and they're, you know, doing funeral arrangements. We go to the funeral. We're helping them with the house and getting things together. It was kind of a sad time. But, you know, at the same time, we got a chance to spend time with family, and we helped them out during that time when they were working out her estate, things like that. Things progress. The house is empty. It goes into a trust, and the house is going to be empty, and they don't know who's going to live in it. So in July of that year, I think we were at a family function. She pulls my wife aside, her cousin pulls my wife aside and says, listen, we'd like you to live in Mom's house. Would you guys like to rent it? And, of course, it was a bigger house. We were living in a small condo in Irvine. Of course we'd like to rent it. It's a nice house. So I said, all right. So I do that. And we decided we're going to move in August of that year. As soon as we decided to do that, her other cousin tells me this story. As it turns out, in the morning, her ritual, her aunt's ritual, was that she would drink coffee and smoke cigarettes and watch the Channel 7 news at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that was what she would do. She'd smoke cigarettes, drink coffee, and watch the news. That's how she got her day started every day. Well, when her family flew out from Texas, they were going to do funeral arrangements and working everything out. Her husband, or her cousin's husband, was sitting there in a chair, in her chair, having a cigarette and waiting for them to come back because they were going to bring coffee and bagels or whatever. They had gone, you know, to get stuff for breakfast. He's sitting there smoking in this empty house alone, and the TV turns itself on to the Channel 7 news. Now he's freaking out. He goes, what the hell happened there? He thought, okay, flux. Electricity flux, something happened, you know, there's a short. Maybe the TV was on and he didn't recognize it. He thought it was a little weird, so he turns the TV off and just to make sure he unplugged it. And he really felt strange being in her chair when that happened. So he got up and he went out on the patio where they would always smoke on that patio. There's a patio right outside the house. And they would go out there and smoke. Katrina's father spent a lot of time there. He would smoke. She smoked. They all smoked on the patio. That was a place to do it. So that's what he was doing. When he got back, he told him what happened. And, of course, Katrina's cousin says, oh, by the way, yeah, that was Mom's chair. And every morning she'd sit and watch the news and drink coffee. And she jokingly said she probably was upset that you were sitting in her chair. And they told me this story before we're going to move in, and now I'm freaking out, right? Because I believe in all this stuff. And I think that helps if you believe. But when you don't have explanations for some things, you really don't have a choice. So we'll fast forward to September 27th, I think, of that year after we've moved in. I start hearing noises in the ceiling. And I don't know what those noises are. But it's like people are walking up there. And it's only happening at night. And it would really get loud and sound like they were doing construction in the ceiling. And it was a little disturbing, but I thought, you know, the house is old. Maybe there was some wildlife in there. We lived in the sticks. Maybe there was a rat in the ceiling or there was wildlife up there, a raccoon or something, but no. I could never figure out what it was. But the worst thing was, there was a sliding glass door in the bathtub. And there, in the bathroom, there was a stand-up shower that we used, and then there was a sliding glass door with a tub that was kind of old, and I really didn't want to take a bath in it, so I would just keep that door closed. And there were some blankets in there that I thought were from the paramedics when they had come to check her out. And I think they may have used them for something, I'm not sure. But I didn't want to touch them, but they were in there. And instead of picking them up and throwing them away, I just closed the door. Well, every time I'd go in that bathroom, that door would be open. And I would ask my wife, you opening that door? And she'd say, no, I don't remember. Maybe I may have opened it for something. But every time I'd go in, the door would be open and it would disturb me, so I'd close it. Well, one day, and I got tired of opening and closing that door. One day, I was going to take a shower. My wife had already left for work. And that door's open, so I closed it before I went into the shower. And I said, I closed the door, and I said it out loud, so I knew I'd done it. I took my shower, finished my shower, I opened the door to the shower stall, and I'm looking at the sliding glass door. Son of a bitch, it's open. I kid you not, it was open. And it sent a chill down my spine just as it sent one just now, thinking about that time it happened. So I told my wife about it, and she jokingly says, it's probably Aunt Jean's ghost. And you know what? I hate that joke. It's not a joke. It's not funny. I didn't find it funny at the time, and I still don't find it funny. Because it's kind of, I don't know, creepy. But I can live with it. No big deal. Anyway, the continued activity in the roof happened, but I couldn't ever, you know, nail that down. And then a few days into November, everything stopped. All the noise stopped. The activity stopped. Nothing happened. The next year, around the end of September, just before the beginning of October, the noises came back in the ceiling, and a new phenomenon started. We went to bed one night, turned off all the lights, locked the house up, went to bed. About 2:30 in the morning, I woke up. The light to the kitchen was on. I thought my wife had gotten up. I look over, and she's asleep in bed. So I got up, turned the light off. My wife says, what are you doing? I said, I went to turn the light off. She goes, oh, didn't we turn it off? And I said, yeah, I thought we turned it off. Didn't we turn it off before we went to bed? She says, yeah, I'm sure we did. We wouldn't have gone to bed without turning the light on. But the light was on. And I couldn't explain that either. And then something different happened about 2 days after that. I'm walking into the front room, and I hit a cold spot. And I'm talking about a cold spot. About 25 degrees colder than the rest of the room. And I thought it was my imagination, so I went backward and went through it again. And there it was again. Now, I'd heard about these things before, and I thought I was making it up in my mind, so I let it go. And about a week later, I'm in another part of the house. I think it was in our bedroom or our guest bedroom. And I hit another one. And it was even colder than the first one. And that one made me nervous, because this stuff always happened when I was alone, except for the time with the light. And of course, the noises in the ceiling continued. So the following year, something else happened that was a little strange. I was alone. It was on a Friday night. My wife was at some business thing. And I'm getting up to get a beer from the fridge, and I hear the garage door opener open. Now, I had taken my wife to the airport, so I had her car. We weren't using the garage door opener because we had a lot of stuff in there. We couldn't even park our car in the garage. So I wondered what had happened. So I went outside the front, and I saw it was halfway open, and the light was on, and the garage door was open. And there was a little switch inside the house. I tried to turn it off myself, and I could not. So I don't know. I couldn't explain that one either. But I eventually disassembled the garage door opener and got rid of that. Opened and closed it manually after that. Then, one night, I was going to the patio. I go to get a beer. I open the door, and there is a thick layer of smoke on the patio that is so thick I can't even breathe. And I don't see smoke, but I'm thinking my neighbors might be smoking. But then I realized that my neighbor on one side are on vacation in Kansas City, and we're getting their mail, so I know they're out of town. And the house next to us is vacant. There's no one living there. So I'm thinking, who's smoking? So I went to my backyard, stepped off the patio to my backyard to see if there was somebody on the other side smoking, and I didn't smell anything. In fact, it was very clean. It just smelled like outside. So I walked back up on the patio to go to the front, and as soon as I hit the patio, boom, that smoke was so thick. Literally, I was coughing. That's how thick it was. I go to the front of the house. As soon as I step off the patio area, it's clean again. Clean air. Now I'm freaking. Just a little bit. So I go through the patio again. The smoke is really super thick. I go inside the house, and I tell Katrina, because she's there, and I said, come outside. I want you to see this. I open the door. I said, go out there. Tell me what you smell. And it was thick. She almost started coughing. Because I smell smoke. I said, come over here. I took her to the patio, to the other side of the patio, the backyard. Nothing. I take her to the other side, to the front. Nothing. Only in the patio area. So she says to me, she goes, well, they used to smoke out here all the time. Now, I couldn't explain that either. And I got tired of not being able to explain this stuff. The following year, we went to a haunted tour of Fullerton. It's a tour of downtown Fullerton that allowed you to go all these places. It was a guided tour. You walked downtown Fullerton. And it was all these special places that were haunted, that they had their own ghost. And a lot of the stories sounded weird. Some of them sounded like they could be true. Some of them sounded a little too far-fetched. But at the end of it, the last thing that they did, and this guy was getting really interesting to me, they showed us these photographs that they had taken of some of the apparitions that they had caught in this downtown drama center. There was a little stage in there where they had these playhouses. and they had an apparition that was hanging out in there, and they think it might have been a member of the drama club from, you know, years ago. It was pretty interesting how he told me how they captured this, and some people had actually seen this figure in full color, and it kind of freaked them out. And so everyone had their own story. At the end of that, the guy said, do you have any questions and stuff? And I saw he had a business card, so I asked him, you know, if it was possible if they could come to our house and run some tests and see if they have all these different Geiger counters and stuff. They measure radioactivity to see if there's any activity there, paranormal activity. And he told me that they could come out, and he gave me a price, and it was kind of steep. I think it was like $1,300. So I didn't want to go that far. And really, he said he could photograph it, and they would set up videotape, and they would videotape all night. And if they caught anything, they could have it on tape. At that point, I thought, I really don't want to see anything, because if I saw something, I wouldn't be able to live there anymore. But, you know, hearing it or you know, having things like little signals that they're sending, that I can handle, but I really don't even want that. So I told him what was happening, and I asked him if there was a way I could get it to stop, and he told him, do you want them to leave? And I said, no, not really, but I'd rather they not do what they're doing. So he says, you have to tell them. Tell them, you know, I don't mind you being here. I understand you want us to know you're here, but do not do this to us anymore because it's upsetting the family. It wasn't really upsetting the family. It was upsetting me. I was getting pissed. So I did. The next day, he says, you have to say it out loud, too. You have to speak to them. I went to the middle of the front room, which is where most of this activity would happen all the time anyway. And I said out loud, I told him exactly that. I said, I understand why you want me to know you're here, and I understand that you love being here and that you love the family, and you want us to know you're here. We know you're here, but please stop this. You're driving me batshit crazy. You're freaking me out. It's kind of making it hard to sleep sometimes. So please stop. And I'm going to tell you something. It stopped. That was the end of it. It never happened again. Now you can say I made all this up. It was a figment of my imagination. But too many people knew about this stuff. They would agree. They weren't freaked out by it. They went along with it. At first, I thought they were all kind of screwing with me, but they weren't. And I hear stories about this all the time. In fact, my friend, Jeff, purchased a house in Mission Viejo about 6 or 7 years ago. And the guy he purchased the house from built it, lived in it all his life. And he had some problems, health problems. He was getting very sick, and he had to sell the house, so he sold it. And right after my friend bought it, about 3 months after he purchased the house, they got the news that the guy had passed away, that he finally he died. So a couple days after this, getting this news, he's waiting for his wife. His wife is going to pick up their kids from her parents' house. And he's sitting in the front room, just sitting there. I don't know if he was reading or something, but you know, it was quiet in the house. He starts hearing noise in the kitchen, like doors slamming, silverware rattling around, the cupboard doors opening and closing, and he thinks, what the hell is that? Who's in the house? Because his wife's not back yet. In fact, she didn't come back for like 45 minutes after this. So he slowly walks into the front, into the kitchen, looks inside, and all the doors and cupboard doors were wide open, left open. And he says to himself,
that guy's ghost is here.
And he felt a little strange about it. And it never happened again. So it's not isolated. This stuff happens all the time. But like I said, they said that 99% of all paranormal activity is friendly activity. They're just roaming around. They're there all the time. If you had this kind of film, this infrared film that they run and they do videotapes, if they put these cameras everywhere, they said you'd see ghosts walking around constantly. These spirits are flying around, walking right next to you. You don't even know they're there. But they're there. Now, you can choose to believe in that, or you can choose to not believe in that. I don't have an explanation for it, so I can't say I don't believe in it, but I'm not exactly going to say I do. But I'm glad I'm out of there. I can now talk about this stuff out in the open without feeling weird about it. Anyway, enough of that. A couple episodes back, we were talking about that story where those PETA whack jobs went undercover in a hog processing plant. You remember that story? They were brutalizing these animals. And it sucks. I mean, it really does. It sucks. I mean, animal cruelty, there's no room for that. But as it turns out, it was a plant that Hormel bought all their pork from. And my point in bringing it up was that I don't have a lot of tolerance for animal cruelty, especially an animal that's going to end up on someone's table. And the argument I get every time I bring this up is the same. They say, you know, this is kind of weird that you say this. If you don't like animal cruelty, why do you eat animals in the first place? And I hate that argument. And maybe I hate it is because I don't have a really good answer for them. I mean, why do I eat animals? I eat them because they taste good. I eat them because they provide protein and sustenance. But what about the cruelty aspect of it? I mean, isn't it cruel to butcher these animals? I mean, they have to die. Yeah, it's sure, I guess so. But how do you come back at that question? So recently, I saw an episode of Gourmet's Diary of a Foodie, and it runs on PBS now and again. And this was perfect. The reporter was at a ranch in Italy, and they raise cattle and vegetables, and they eat everything that they grow and everything that they raise. They sat down to dinner, and they had some of the beef that they raised. This Italian guy was showing her around, and he was talking to the cattle. He was petting some of them, and he says, you know, we respect the animals on our farm. And she said, do you have a problem eating these animals after having raised them from when they were young? And he says to her, no, I have great respect for them. I have to have great respect for them. We all have to have great respect for these animals. Because without them, I could not live. I rely on these animals for my food. And there's nothing I have greater respect for than that. So that's why I have an issue with what these guys are doing in that hog processing plant. It's a respect issue. It's not that we're high and mighty animal lovers. They're our food. And you're disrespecting my food. Don't disrespect my food, dude. Well, I think I have completed my Halloween episode, My Life as a Foodie. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it gave you the freaking creeps. Some of the music was a little creepy. Good luck on the horror movie quote game. There's a long list of music credits. I'm going to have to put them on the website because I can't possibly read them now. This Pliny the Elder is kicking my head in. I've had two of them now. I can't even see straight. I am toast, my friends. Toast and prost. Thanks again for tuning in, for your support on the Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com. Check out other fine Beer Safari podcasts about beer and general manliness at beersafari.com. It's Jungle of Beer. And don't forget to send your answers to the horror movie quote game to zeroface project@yahoo.com or click on the links at zeroface.wordpress.com. My name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie. Happy Halloween.
space.